God is keeping and watching over your life. Thank you. Amen. Amen. We have a lot, indeed. We carry on, and indeed, we thank God for the grace to pray. You know, one of the reasons that we do this is not because that we want, you know, to show people that, you know, we can pray or all that, you know, but there are things that are caught. There are certain fires that come when you are in that place where you warm yourself. You warm yourself with others in prayer, and you understand that you can seek God. You can seek God for yourself. Many people want to be prayed for, and it's okay, yes, it's okay to want to be prayed for, but there's the greatest, you know, thing that you can do for yourself is to be in that place where you commit yourself, you know, to be praying for yourself, to be finding God, to be, you know, even if it is in the context of others or with others, you know, Jesus says, when you go to pray, go to your inner chamber and shut the door behind you, you know, close the door and pray to the God in secret. You know, you can be with others, but you're still praying to the God in secret. That means that there is a way that you can shut your heart. You can close the door of your heart, and there are no interruptions. And this is what, you know, personal prayer does, is that you can be even sitting on your desk and your heart is speaking to God. You can be releasing grace. You can be having that deep communion. And that is how we meditate on the Word of God. That is how we commune with God, in that you have a scripture. You're sitting and you're just thinking, oh, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And then you start to ask yourself, what is that counsel of the wicked? Indeed, am I walking in the counsel of the wicked? Am I walking with the ideas of men? The work that I'm doing, was it my idea? Was it the ideas of my parents? Was it the ideas of my friends? Or was it led by God? Am I walking in the blessing of God, or am I walking just surviving? Because there are many people who are just surviving, and God does not want us to just survive. We were created for dominion. You see, when Adam was made, the Bible tells us, and when God says, let us make man in our own image and likeness, and let them have dominion. So there is a dominion mandate that the church must walk in, because for us it's not just dominion like Adam. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions, every name that is named in this world and in the world to come. So there is a grace that God gives the church, that God gives the believers, to sit in that place of dominion, to sit in that place that is higher than even thrones or dominions. That means that the mandate that the church, the mandate that the believers have today, must be higher than even what Adam had. But how do you exercise that dominion? You exercise it by priesthood. Revelation 1 verse 6 tells us that he has made us for himself kings and priests unto our God. He has purchased for himself. He has made you and me to be a king and a priest unto God. That means that you have two dimensions as a believer. You are both a king and you're also a priest. Now, you are a king. That means you exercise the authority that God wants you to have on the earth. There is a place of influence that God has given you. Now, when you understand you have the mindset of a king, you remember in the word of the king, there is power. That means that your words carry power. Your words carry life. That is why we have to keep teaching us to speak right. Speaking right. When you speak right, you don't cancel your prayers. You know, you can have prayed, oh God, I'm increasing, I'm enlarging, I'm getting bigger. And then you meet with people who are saying, ah, the economy is bad. Now, the moment you are saying that, you are canceling what you have done, what you have done in prayer. Now, you exercise your dominion, you exercise your kingly authority by knowing who you are, by knowing what God has said over your life. But then also, what powers your kingly dominion is actually your priesthood. We rule by priesthood. What is priesthood? Priesthood is offering of incense, offering of our fire to God. You know, the Bible tells us that the priests were told, let the fire on the altar never go out. Let that thing that God has put in you, let it not go out. Why? Because it is what powers our lives. It is what keeps us in alignment to God. It is what brings us in communion with God. And you know, we're in the book of 1 Timothy. And Timothy is one true son of Paul and one who has been faithful, one who can be trusted, you know, one who he's young, yes, but Paul is like, I'm sending you to take care of the church in Ephesus. I left you there to take care and to command certain men, you know, not to teach heresies. And he says that, you know, you need to do it because why? Because if we don't contend for the faith, you'll find these people, they claim to be teachers of the law, but then they don't know what they're saying. Now let's look at 1 Timothy and we're going to read from verse 18. Maybe just to quickly, we can start here. Verse 18, it says, this charge I commit to you, son, or my son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, you may fight the good fight, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now you can see how Paul keeps encouraging his son. And it's interesting how he uses the words, I charge you, you know. And this reminds me of, you know, high school when we used to finish, we used to have a charge. And it went like, I charge you never to forget the great benefits you received in this school, you know, and in time to come, according to your means, enable others to enjoy the same privilege. And this was a charge. It was more of like what you will call like a command. And you can think of how when soldiers are about to go to war, what happens is their commander gives them some encouragement, gives them some motivation. And even the word that is used for Timothy, son, is technon. You know, in Greek, there are about three words that are used for sons. There is technon, which is my beloved son. And this is a son that you truly love. And then there is nebius, which is, you know, an immature child or an immature son. And then there is heos, which is a mature son. Now, when it says Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. It speaks of the mature sons of God. Those are the ones that are led by the Spirit of God. But now he's using the word, this charge I commit to you, my son, Timothy, my technon, my beloved son, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. You know, one of the things that, and I keep saying this, that people often assume that just because prophecies have come over your life, they are going to be guaranteed, they are going to happen. And this is where many people go wrong. The scriptures are showing us that Paul, when he was prayed for, and you can see that later on 2 Timothy chapter 1, when he's being told that when the elders laid their hands over you, there are certain prophecies that they made over your life. They spoke from what God put in their spirit. They declared, you know, increase over his life. Maybe he's going to be anointed. He's going to reach the nations. He's going to do this. Maybe you're going to get married and all this. And this, yes, are prophecies. You know, when men of God speak from God, there is something that prophecy does. Prophecy starts to create. Now, it starts to create the situation that is to come. That means it like releases the word. Think about Daniel. Daniel, the day he humbled himself to pray, the answer was sent from heaven. But you see, this is a spiritual world. Now, we know that there is war. And the Bible has already told us, woe to those who dwell on the earth. Why? Because Satan has been sent to you and he is full of fury because he knows that his days are short. Now, if you don't, if you're ignorant of the devil, if you choose to ignore him, you know, I was last laughing the other day when I was hearing someone saying, no, just ignore the devil. No, There is a warfare. There is a warfare that we need to fight. We need to take territory. You cannot conquer. You cannot go to a place. You cannot steal from a strong man except that you first tie him down, bind him, and take away his property. Now, strong men are those who are using the works of evil to also oppose. That means they have learned the ways of their God. They have learned the ways of their idols. And they are also using that against the church or against you. Now, he's telling them that according to the prophecies made concerning you. You see, when prophecies come, it is easy to despise. You know, you can either choose to despise the prophecies, which means that you can feel like, this might not happen. It's just too much. Or you can write them down. And you can say, God, you promised me this. God, you spoke that this is going to happen in my life. You spoke that this is going to happen in my family. I remember when I was fasting, God, you released this. I remember when I was in the church, the elders prayed this. Oh, this was prophesied over me. Now, God is saying, by these prophecies, by these words that have come to you, this is what you use to wage a good warfare. That means that you come and contend for the faith. How do you contend for those prophecies or with those prophecies that have come? You come and bring them to God. You say, God, God, you spoke this. I am seeing my life is contrary to what you spoke, but I am still depending on you. I am still depending on your word that what you spoke over my life is going to come to pass. And anyone that learns to bring what God has spoken, anyone that learns to bring the word of God, you know, how do you pray? You pray with scriptures. Yes, let's say you're going through a sickness, but you go to Psalms 103 and it says, blessed be the Lord who heals all my diseases. And you sit on the word and you say, it does not heal. It does not say there are some incurable, some cannot be healed. No, God, you have said in your word that you heal all our diseases. Remember, prophecy that is written in the scriptures did not have its origin in the will of man, but holy men spoke of God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So that means prophecies are the speakings of God. They are the revelations of God. They are what God has revealed even in his word or even verbally to us. Prophecies might be what is written. That is something that you can contend with. You stay on the word. That's why if you just pray and you don't know what God has said, you are walking on one leg. These two legs must be active. And that is why the disciples say, we will give ourselves to the ministry of prayer and the word. The ministry of prayer and the word. You must constantly give yourself to prayer. You know, when someone says, I'm going to give myself, it's just like the same way people say, I dedicate myself, you know, to following this football club or to following this team. You can find people are dedicated. You know, I used to have friends who can even tell you the birthdays of the players. They'll tell you, oh, this guy is turning this age now. Oh, this today is the birthday. And you're like, how do you keep all this number? It's a dedication. Now, if we dedicate ourselves to the things of God, when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. What are these things? The things that the Gentiles run after. People are running after money. People are running after wealth. People are running after, you know, being famous, after increase. But yet God says there are things that you seek first. If you seek God first, if you put God in your priority, you know there's priority list. Now, what is your priority? Your priority list is what you give time for. You cannot say someone is your priority and you don't make time for them. You can think about it. Those in relationships will tell you. The moment that you say that you love someone, you make time for them. But the moment that someone comes and calls you and you're not placing them at a certain level, what you do is you make an excuse. You say, no, I'm actually busy. You know, actually, maybe tomorrow. Maybe I had something else to do. No, why? It is about priorities. No one does not really have time. It is you only have time for who you prioritize. Now, if God becomes your priority, then now he is the one that takes the center stage. Now, Timothy is taught, look here, there are things that have been spoken over your life. Now, we prayed for you. We have charged you. We have committed you to the word of God. We laid our hands over you. We expect that you're going to increase in ministry. You expect you're going to increase in your work. You're going to be a faithful servant. But unless you fight that good warfare, what is that good warfare? The fight, good fight of faith is a fight to keep believing, to keep depending on God, and to keep bringing to God what he has spoken and saying, God, I am still standing on this word and this word until it comes to pass. Those that sit at home and just say, well, it has been spoken, it will happen, many times face disappointments. Many times they face disappointments because there is a warfare. And look at how verse 19 says, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected, have suffered shipwreck. That means that your faith can actually go through shipwreck. What is shipwrecked faith? Crushed faith. Where, yes, God has spoken to you. You have heard the word. You have believed in Christ. But then because you don't maintain your faith, what is faith? Continually believing that what God has spoken will come to pass. And indeed, it will come to pass, I assure you. Numbers 23 verse 11, God is not a man to lie, not a son of man to change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? He has given a command to bless and he cannot reverse it. It cannot be reversed. Your blessings cannot be reversed. What God has promised you, it cannot be reversed. But if you don't wage war with it, I'm trying to tell you now, this is what we teach men, so that you become a man, you become a mature son, so that you know that, you know what, I am going to engage. You need to engage. And it's told that if those having faith and a good conscience, what is faith? Is your dependence on God. But also beyond that, you must also purify your conscience. Your conscience must be clear before God. Stand before God and have a conscience that is clean. That means that if there is anything in there that is still condemning you, bring it to the cross. Bring it to the cross and address it. There are things that will want to hold us down. And you know, the beauty of God is that as long as you're still in alignment with him, he will keep your conscience clear. Why? Because he wants you to worship him from a place of purity. Your conscience is a place of purity. If you're pure in heart, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God wants you to maintain a good conscience. And because some have rejected this, what happens? Their faith have been shipwrecked. And this is sad. It is telling us that these are guys who started right. And look at the two people that he's speaking about, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, it is interesting because it is trying to say that these were actually believers. These two guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander. Now, Hymenaeus, if you want to find out more about him, you can read more about him in 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 16, 17, 18. And these were guys who were teaching that the resurrection has already happened. And because they started, yes, well, but because of the false doctrine that came, they were now teaching people that the resurrection has happened, not really the resurrection, that the return of the Lord has come. So it doesn't really matter. The world has ended and we are left behind. So because of that, they started right, but their faith has been shipwrecked. Now, some people will say, oh, can you lose your salvation? You can see Paul is speaking about people who started right, but because they wanted to go their own way, they have shipwrecked their faith. Hymenaeus is one like that. He's teaching people. And in fact, if we just look at that, it says, and their message will spread like cancer. That means Hymenaeus and Philetus, their messages, of which they were spreading the wrong doctrines, was spreading like cancer. And this is the people Paul is saying, I have handed over to Satan. Alexander, who is Alexander? Alexander is that coppersmith, the metal worker, that Paul says that an Alexander who did me so much harm, who did me great deal of evil. Now, this guy was a believer. He started in the faith. And that is telling you that the people who are actually going to hurt you are actually not far away from you. The people who can even do great harm are not far away from you. And you can see how initially even Paul was trying to tell them that God, may God save us from wicked men, because not everyone has faith. Some people, you think, yes, they are Christian, or you think they're your brothers and sisters, but they don't have faith. Now, I was just seeing a story yesterday, was it just this morning, of a guy who, he had a friend who was in another country. He came back and the guy had lost everything, and the guy housed him. And unfortunately, the guy was running businesses, and then his friend, the one who has housed in his house, files a complaint against him. The guy loses almost two of his lorries, which is his business. They auction it, everything, and then the guy takes the money and goes back into that business that he was doing. Now, that is someone who, and you can see the man is on the floor being hugged by his two daughters, and you can see that pain. Now, that is a man who has been harmed by someone that was close to him. Now, Paul also suffered the same. He had people who he has raised, he had people who he has brought up, who turn away from the faith. Remember Demas, the Bible, he says that Demas, having loved the world, has forsaken me. Now, Hymenaeus, false teaching, teaching people that the resurrection has already taken place, the return of Jesus has already come. Alexander, coppersmith, does a great harm. And Paul says, I have left him to God. May the Lord repay him for his works. Vengeance is for God. Now, when he says, I delivered them to Satan, this is what we call excommunication. You know, in the church, we have the word excommunication. Now, ideally, and you can think about it, that it wasn't really an excommunication to the point where there is no hope or return. And you can think about the person in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, where this man who was sleeping with his father's wife, it was such a great immorality, and he was asking the church, you guys, how can you just be happy that you have a brother among you who is sleeping with his father's wife? And he told them, using the same words, hand this man over to Satan, deliver this man over to Satan for the restoration of his soul, that he might be healed. What does that mean? When you send this person away from the fellowship, you want this person to move away and to feel that longing, to feel that emptiness, and to feel that he has been forsaken by people that he loved. And in that moment of being set aside, or in that moment of discipline, this person might come to their minds and senses and realize they are wrong and come back to God. Now, this is the meaning of handing over someone to Satan, or delivering someone to Satan. This does not mean that you want them to be destroyed completely, but you're like, no, I need to discipline you to the point where you can come back to God. Now, unfortunately, did these two people come back? Clearly, it seems they did not. Hymenaeus continued with his teaching. We've seen that in 2 Timothy 2:17. Alexander, the metal worker, the coppersmith, continued to harm Paul until Paul said, well, I've left him to God. But the guy in 1 Corinthians, the one who did immorality, was handed over to Satan. Paul said, restore him, show him his love again, such that he's not overwhelmed with sorrow, and Satan does not outwit us. So even though we get to a point where we are facing difficult men, there are those who God will restore. But there are those who might still choose their own way. But let us be not those whose faith suffers shipwreck, like Hymenaeus and Alexander. I pray that that, and you see what they are told, that they may learn not to blaspheme. They may learn not to speak against God. Remember, one of the things that we are told, not to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, not to blaspheme against God. God wants us to stay in alignment. Otherwise, we can stand right and end up wrong. I pray that God will give us clarity, understanding in all this. I'll take a stop here. My brother, you're welcome.
Hey, Dr. Manu, thank you. I'd like to add, just pray that God gives us the grace to understand this prophecy of our lives and live by that. But also we pray and seek for God's mercy and grace. Because it's, if now you hand it over to Satan, right? And my feeling is it's really doomsday. Yeah? So just pray that God continues having mercy of us.
Amen.
Despite what it could cause. And also pray for grace to overcome the weaknesses and some of these temptations and failures where we're not believing that a shipwreck is not, it should not be our possession.
Indeed, we should keep our faith in alignment. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for those that have joined in. May God bless you and reward you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it has come in power. It has come in might. It has come in understanding. That God, you want us to wage war. You want us to stand firm. You want us to fight the good fight of faith, O God, with a pure heart, with a clean conscience, that indeed we shall not suffer shipwreck of our faith, O God, because you want our faith to stand, O God. O God, may we not be victims of the traps of darkness, of the traps of destruction, of the traps of wrong teachings, O God, that may we not be handed over to Satan, O God, but Father, that Lord, we may be preserved. I pray for a preservation, O God. Give us the courage, give us the commitment, give us the strength, O God, to depend on you, to wait on you, to trust in your promises, O God. I thank you for your sons and daughters. You watch over them, you cover them, you preserve them, O God. Thank you for Emmanuel. Thank you for Pauline. Thank you for Betty, O God, that your grace and power shall continue to sustain, strengthen, and watch over them. Your grace, your power, your anointing, O God, your favor, O God. We walk in the newness of life. We walk in grace. We walk in power. We walk in victory. Thank you that our lives are blessed. We honor, we submit ourselves to your Lordship. May your name be exalted and be magnified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom and have a blessed day.